Now, Conor Pope is on the line. How are you doing, Conor?
Hi, Ray. How are you getting on?
Commiserations. And I know your wife, Sonia's dad, died there over the weekend. Was it Friday or?
It was Friday morning, and by horrible coincidence, Ray, he died in Talla Hospital.
Oh, did he? Right.
And he died of COVID. And
right.
He was, I just want to like pay my respects because he was such a lovely man. And what your last contributor said really echoed with me, because, you know, he loved his wife, he loved his child, he loved his granddaughter. And like, you know, at the end, it was all about love for him, you know. And I tell you, we've been talking about the disease for a year on this show and in the Irish Times and everywhere else. And I think so you only really appreciate the true horror of it when you experience something like this. And it was just awful, because this day last week, his consultant was super optimistic and hugely optimistic that he'd be coming home. And then within 12, 24 hours, it had just deteriorated and he was gone by Friday. And it's just a really cruel, cruel, cruel illness. And like, if nothing else, it serves as a reminder that we still have to continue to take it seriously, because it's devastating.
Alan Harris,
and he was a lovely man. And as I say, when he went, he was very fortunate in that he was able to go with his wife and my wife Sonia holding his hand. And that's right. You know, and a lot of people have been denied that in recent times.
Yeah.
So you know,
and I'm just looking here. He was doing 12,000 steps a day.
He was 80, but he was like he was a young 80, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because as I say, 12,000 to 15,000 steps a day. He was, the thing that's really like one of the things that's really upsetting is he did everything right. You know, like he had me as a son-in-law, and I was telling him from March, don't go out, cocoon. But he was doing that himself, and he wore the masks any time he went out. And we didn't have Christmas dinner on last Christmas because we wanted to keep them safe. And despite doing all of that stuff, despite doing everything he possibly could to keep himself and his wife safe, he still got the illness, and it took him. And it's just so cruel.
And how did he?
Well, you know yourself, Ray. It's impossible to say, but like, given that he wasn't going out, he wasn't going to the shops, he was wearing the mask. All he did was walk the dogs at night to keep himself safe, and even then he'd wear the mask. He had an outpatient's appointment in a hospital in early January. So if you were to pinpoint something,
it
would be
that.
Maybe
that was it. Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, our thoughts are with Sonia.
Thanks very much. She'll appreciate that.
Yeah, and you, obviously, and the rest of the family. And may you rest in peace, Alan Harris, there.
Absolutely.
I was reading your piece today, which is a fascinating piece. I wasn't familiar with this politically exposed person thing before.
No, neither was I, right? I'd never heard of it.
Right.
And a reader contacted us in connection with Revolut, and his card had been blocked. And he started getting these messages from Revolut going, "Can you tell us if you're related to Eamon Ryan?" And he was like, "What? Why do you want to know that?" And they said, "No, can you tell us if you're related to Eamon Ryan?" And this over and back went on for days and days and days until eventually they locked his account, because he just refused to answer whether or not he was related to Eamon Ryan, the Green Party leader.
Yeah. His surname was Ryan.
His surname was Ryan. Now, I know his first name, but I'm not going to reveal his first name, because that's not neither here nor there.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, so he had no idea what had happened. He was locked out of his Revolut account for the guts of a fortnight. And I contacted them and they said, "Oh yeah, that's because Eamon Ryan is what's known as a politically exposed person. And under money laundering legislation, we have to establish certain things in case the person who's on our Revolut account is linked to Eamon Ryan." And there's this really convoluted thing. And I was just thinking, like, if you're a politician and your name is Murphy, Jim Murphy.
But Ryan is a very common name as well.
Ryan is a very common name.
Revolut has 1.2 million customers in Ireland.
Exactly. So
surely there must be more
Ryans. Must there be?
Yes.
And I did put that to them. I was wondering how many people with a similar name had been similarly blocked, but they haven't really gone into that detail. They're just saying they're following the rules.
I'm just thinking, O'Brien. Like, O'Brien is a common name.
Absolutely.
O'Brien.
MacDonald.
O'Donoghue. Yeah. O'Donoghue.
But the funny thing is, it doesn't just impact on senior politicians. It goes all the way down through the ranks. And as I say, it was brand new to me and it was brand new to most of our listeners. But you can read the full, almost comic detail of it on the Irish Times website now. And it's just bizarre, frankly. And I plan to do more on it, because I think we need to learn more about this particular story.
Hello, Revolut here. We're just wondering, are you related to the Pope?
Oh well.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's the first time I've ever heard that joke, Ray.
I know, but it was. Come on, for topicality, you have to give
me a
few marks for that. You have to give me a few marks for. Come on,
I'd give you 4 out of 10.
Okay, right. Now, this came into pricewatch@rte.ie, and if you have a consumer issue you want Conor to grapple with, that's the address, pricewatch@rte.ie. Dear Conor, I was an AIR customer for fixed line broadband, landline and mobile. Broadband speeds were poor in my area, so I called to see if fibre was coming. They offered me a 5G wireless solution and said if it wasn't better, I could return it. This was early September 2020, that's the door. It was better, so I thought I was all set. Over Christmas, I discovered through one of my children that the old broadband was still active, so I started calling again and again and again. A number of times I did get through and explain the situation. I was told someone would call me back. No one called me back. So I tried calling again. Eventually got through, and after explaining everything, the call dropped. When I spoke to them, they admitted that the broadband should have been cancelled but disputed the landline situation. They said they would credit me with the difference between the two broadband services, €20 per month. They have been charging me approximately €50 per month for a landline I requested to be cancelled back on September 30th, 2020.
Sounds complicated, but the bottom line is this person was paying for two different services from AIR at the same time, despite the fact that he'd asked for one of them to be cancelled. And what we've heard here and what we hear on many occasions in connection with AIR and indeed with other companies is the very difficult time people have trying to reach resolutions. So this was a cut and dry case. He rang AIR, said, listen, when am I going to get fibre broadband? They said, we can't get fibre broadband to you at the moment, but you can try this 5G network. Try the 5G network. The 5G network was better than what he had. So he switched. And he even remembered, because I was speaking to him, he even remembers saying to them in AIR in September, well, sure, we never used the landline anyway.
Right.
So why would we have that? So he got rid of it. But for whatever reason, and mistakes happen, we all know that, Ray. Whatever reason, the landline contract wasn't cancelled, which means from September, October, November, December, and it's January, you're looking at maybe he was paying an additional €300-350 for his landline, despite the fact that he thought it was cancelled. And he was also paying for the fixed line broadband, despite the fact that he thought that was cancelled. So he thought, like, he was basically had paid €450 more than was necessary. And what we've seen over and over again is the difficulty people have getting resolution to these things. Now, like, it should be no difficulty for the company to listen to the calls, to confirm that he'd in fact cancelled the landline and the broadband, and to refund him the money. But, you know, the way he tells the story is, like, he'd be on hold for like 40 minutes, then he'd get through, and then after 15 minutes, just when he was getting to the nub of the problem, the phone line would go dead and he'd have to start all over again. So between the jigs and the reels, I was in touch with AIR on Friday. They looked into the case. They've agreed that there was problems. They made mistakes. They've apologised to our listener, and they're refunding him all of the money, the landline costs and the fixed broadband costs, and they're giving him an additional credit to cover the costs of his 5G broadband for a little while longer. So again, the problem has been resolved, but you just have to ask yourself, are we ever going to get to a point where we never hear from broadband companies, or we never hear from the customers of broadband companies or telecoms companies? And sure, what would we talk about then, Ray?
Yeah, but we have been told that AIR are sorting out things.
Yeah, and we have to give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, they are acutely aware that there's problems, you know.
Yeah. And their CEO, Carolyn Lennon, has come out and said, you know, hands in the air.
Yeah. And she appeared before an Oireachtas committee in which she appeared to slag off Sligo, but that's a long story and I don't want to get into that. But she has admitted that, you know, there was problems and she was taking full responsibility for it. So I guess we just have to...
I remember years ago, Conor, you were on way back years ago, and NTL was in the same position as AIR is in now. They were just constantly been, you know, and every week we were doing two or three NTL.
That's correct,
problems.
Actually, yeah. And you know, it does go on, sorry.
Go on, no, but finally the CEO of NTL actually came on. And he answered people's questions. So maybe
well,
Carolyn Lennon.
Well, you should invite Carolyn and Lennon, see if she'll come on the show.
Well, if you're listening, Carolyn, you're invited onto the show, and we'll give you a good 45 minutes and we'll let people talk to you and you can talk back. And that'd be a good public service broadcasting, wouldn't it?
It would. I'll listen in, Ray.
Well, maybe you can moderate it or something. Are you?
My dream come true.
Yeah. Anyway, but you're obviously keeping a close look on them to make sure that what they've promised will be delivered.
Yeah, and we'll keep an eye on it, and sure, we'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah. And commiserations again, Conor.
Oh, thanks a lot, Ray.
And thanks for being on today, and we'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.